Let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Good to have each of you here today, and we want to pray the Lord's blessing upon our services. Be sure to remember next Sunday's to bring a friend. Everybody brings a friend, we'll have to put out chairs, and we like to do that, and we'll be ready for it. And then, like we said, we're going to be going across the road and eat a little bit, some soup and things, and just be a good time of fellowship. Try to bring somebody with you. Really put an effort out. You look around you, you see someone that's not been here in a while. It's easy to fall under the radar if you're not careful. But if you notice somebody not been here, give them a call. Give them a call. We got papers that's got all the members' names on, all the people's names on them. Back here in the back, you can give them a call and just tell them you miss them, like to see them. And it makes people feel good when they know they're missed. And a lot of times that can go by the side. As we've already, JP has prayed, and I appreciate his prayer this morning. Be sure to pray for Sister Sandy Hill. It was kind of a freak thing that happened to Roy. He did good through his heart surgery, but when they was taking some of the metal out or something, it just pricked in his stomach and caused him to start bleeding real bad. And they just couldn't get him back. So be sure to remember her in prayer. She had a boy named Aaron. He was our neighbor, of course, and he was killed when he was 17, and now her husband, and my heart's heavy. My heart's heavy. It is. Pray for her, would you? Amen. Pray for her. Lift her up. I can't imagine. I absolutely can't imagine of what she's facing today. I hope everybody feels welcome here today. I hope the Lord would bless you here today through this message. The Gospel of John chapter 5 is where we're going to be at, and we'll do the best we can. And you pray for me. Lord, if you pray for me, it'll make a difference in the message. It will. Gospel of John chapter 5 is a text I'm going to use mainly as a kind of an illustration, and mainly as an illustration here today in John chapter 5. And we want to look at the verse 1. After this, John 5:1, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these laid a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. I want you to notice that. They waited on the moving of the water. This was a pool that was there. A lot of people came to this pool, and you'll see the reason why that is in verse 4. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, troubled the water. Whosoever then was first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, and he had an infirmity for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" What Jesus asked him. The impotent man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately this man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on that same day was the Sabbath. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have this privilege of preaching your word. We're thankful for everyone that's here today, Lord. And we pray that you would grant the unction of the Spirit of living God in this meeting. And Lord, we pray that you touch someone today with this message, that they be made to be close to you as a result of hearing it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. What I'm going to do with this, I've taught through really the whole New Testament verse by verse, but what I'm planning on doing today is just using you an illustration, and I'm going to use this healing pool as an illustration. And we're going to talk about salvation, and we're going to talk about God's way of salvation just a little bit. But what I want to do is I want to liken this healing pool, this pool Bethesda, I want to liken this pool to Jesus, if you don't care, just for a little bit. The pool of Bethesda was a healing pool. And what would happen, it's just a remarkable kind of thing that would happen on occasions, is it says in the text, an angel would trouble the water, and when the water was troubled, the first one into the water was made whole of whatever infirmity they had. Could you imagine having such a pool of water as that? And because that was a healing pool, and there was a great multitude of people that had diseases that couldn't be healed by doctors or anything, there would be a great number of people that would be laying there by this healing pool. Well, there's one particular man that's mentioned. Now that you know what we're talking about, there's one particular man that is mentioned in the text. And this man, we don't know what his name is. It just says he was an impotent man, which means he didn't have the ability to walk. Evidently, he could crawl. It was probably about all he could do. And you can imagine how sad of a thing that would have been. Here he was, his sole hope of being made whole was this healing pool. But the problem is, whenever the water would be troubled, since he couldn't walk, could you imagine what he looked like? He had to crawl his way trying to get down in that healing pool. The Bible says he had this infirmity for 38 years. Now, I don't know how long he stepped by that pool, but that healing pool for him was a hopeless pool. It gave him a little bit of hope that maybe he'd get in it, but as he was going on the way, he couldn't get in. Somebody that could walk could get in front of him. Everybody got me? Would you agree with me this morning that pool of Bethesda was a frustrating pool to a man that couldn't walk? 38 years he had this infirmity. What I'm going to do today is use this pool as a illustration for you. Because that basically is what people does with Jesus. They've made Jesus a healing pool. They've made Jesus a healing pool. But the problem is, this impotent man couldn't get in it. You see, when people talk about salvation many times, what they say about Jesus is that Jesus makes it possible for you to be saved. What I'm telling you this morning, Jesus can save. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want you to understand what I'm going to be going. So you pay close attention to me. Here's what I'm going to tell you. If all the Lord did was make it possible for you to be saved and say, all right, you come to me, hear me. Nobody would come. And I'm going to prove it to you today. Jesus is more than a pool of Bethesda that you'll get made whole if you get in. Jesus actually can put you in. Jesus actually can put you in. You said you listen to this old Baptist preacher this morning. I got something I want to share with you. Let's talk a little bit about this. Now, you think all Jesus did was make it possible for you to be saved? Is that all the Lord did was make it possible? 2,000 years ago, this healing pool did this man no good because he couldn't get in. Everybody got me? He couldn't make it. 38 years he tried and he couldn't get in. It was a hopeless pool for him, for this impotent man. Here was a healing pool and he couldn't get in it. I'm telling you, that's the same. It's even worse, but I can use it as an illustration. That's what people's done with Jesus. They've made him a healing pool, and if you can get in, you'll be made whole. Isn't that what they've done? Well, let's talk a little bit about that this morning. I want you to turn to the book of Luke 18. Now, if you can't find things fast in your Bible, I don't want to lose you looking. You can get the CD or get it off the internet. I want you to listen to me this morning. Jesus does more than make salvation possible. Do you hear what I said? He just didn't make salvation available. The problem is, man can't get in on his own. Could that crippled man get in that pool on his own? You remember, matter of fact, he said, Lord, I have no man that can help me in. Remember? I have no man that can help me in. So this healing pool was a hopeless pool for this man. And I'm telling you this morning that in salvation, many people talk about Jesus. They say, well, he made it possible. I'm telling you this morning, he makes it sure. I'm telling you, we sing the song, Jesus what? Jesus what? Jesus saves? Jesus can save. Jesus does save. And if Jesus doesn't save, then there ain't no salvation. We owe our salvation totally to him. Now you listen to me. Luke chapter 18. I want you to, now I'm giving you some verses, and if you can't find them, you get the CD and look at these. I want you to look at these verses. And these are verses that just Jesus preached this text here in Luke chapter 18. Notice what it says. He's talking to the rich young ruler in this text. And this rich young ruler thought that he realized he was missing something. And he came to Jesus and he asked him some questions and he asked him, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God," is what Jesus told him. And he's right, of course, he's the Lord. And then Jesus mentioned to him, he took him to the Ten Commandments, didn't he? You know, I use the Ten Commandments probably every day of my life in witnessing to people. You tell people how to be saved. You got to show them why they need to be saved. Everybody here today is a lawbreaker. Every one of us has broke the commandments. And the Bible says if you break one commandment, then you're guilty and under a sin curse. That's why you need a what? That's why you need a Savior. That's why you need him. You got to show people why they need to be saved. You broke God's law. You're under a sin curse. God provided his son to be born under the law so he could keep it for you. Then go to Calvary and pay the debt that you owed. That's what he did. So he tells this man, I don't want to get off on the rich young ruler. It says a good preaching text. Let me move faster. But here's what he says in verse 25 to this man. About this rich man. He told this rich man to go sell everything he had and then come and follow him. Remember? Go sell everything you have and then come and follow me. Well, you know what the man did? Verse 23 says he was sorrowful because he's very rich. He was sorrowful because he's very rich. And you know what the Lord showed this rich man? He didn't keep the law. He was a lawbreaker. You know which one he broke? He was covetous. He showed him, he might have went away, but he didn't go away deceived. He was a lost man. Jesus makes this statement, many people talk about it in verse 25. "For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now, people interpret that a variety of different ways. They'll talk about a passage where it's very hard for somebody to get through, like a camel or something like that. I think they're all wrong. I think the context tells you what he means by it. He says it's easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Which prompts the disciples to ask a question, and they said, "Who then can be saved?" You want to read the next verse? What's the next verse say, beloved? "With men it is" what? "Impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Isn't that a glorious thing? The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Well, what a glorious text that indeed is. Salvation is impossible with men. I don't talk about the day that I saved myself when I talk about being saved. This is the day I saved myself. No, I didn't save myself. You know who saved me? The Lord saved me. You know who gets the credit for the salvation of my soul? The Lord does. And the Lord is more than just a pool of Bethesda that if you can get in it, you'll get healed. The problem is you don't got the ability to get in on your own. Don't have the ability, the possibility to get in on your own at all. Look, Luke chapter 18 says, "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Do y'all believe this next statement I'm going to give you? Do you believe that Jesus seeks and saves that which is lost? Amen. How many have heard the text? Talking about old Zacchaeus, isn't he? It says, talking about Zacchaeus, remember he was a covetous old sinner, Luke chapter 19, that's what he was. Lived for money. That was a driving force behind his life. And Jesus came by, and he was up in a sycamore tree because Jesus was famous. And he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, called him by name. Knowed him since before the world began. Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today. Boy, it's a glorious day when Jesus comes to your house, isn't it? Amen. Glorious day. So that's exactly what he did. He went to Jesus' house, and he began to tell him how half he's good. He restored to the poor. He gave to the poor. If he stole anything, because he's a thief too, he was a publican. He took more money from the people than they should have took. So if he said, I stole anything, I've restored it fourfold. That's fruit of repentance. When someone repents, you're going to see a change in your life. I get excited when people make professions of faith in Jesus. I get more excited when I see them change. I like to see people change. I like to see people different. I've seen a lot of people in my 38 years of pastoring that's made professions of faith, and then I see them a year later, and they ain't changed nothing. I'm telling you, when you're born again, it'll change you, and if it don't change you, there's something wrong with it, and there is such a thing, beloved, as a dead faith. A dead faith don't change you. A real, true, living faith in Christ Jesus will change you and give you a spiritual taste for spiritual things. All God's people say it. Amen. He'll do it. He'll do it. Well, Jesus said in Luke 18:18-21, with men, salvation's impossible. You can't save yourself on your own. It has to be the Lord the one that does the saving. Now, we're talking about Zacchaeus, and I want to give you this too. In the book of Luke chapter 19, look at verse 10. Jesus talking about salvation here again. Talking about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus got saved on this day because Jesus said it in verse 9, this day salvation's come to this house. But I want you to look at verse 10. He said that he came to, what's it say?
Seek and save.
I didn't hear you again.
Seek and save.
Let's everybody say it.
Seek and save.
Seek and save. That's what he does in salvation. Victory in Jesus, says that song. Victory. How many of you have heard Victory in Jesus? Raise your right hand. Did you see that part in Victory in Jesus? Said he sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He sought you out. Before I was born again, beloved, I was a lost sheep. The day I saved, I was a found sheep. You said, what happened to you? Well, Jesus seeked me out, and he saved my soul. Jesus can save.
Amen.
He's not a healing pool that somehow you can get in it. What I'm telling you is you can't get in it because of your nature. Your nature is a sin. You was born with it. Matter of fact, the Bible says that before you were saved, you was blind. Amazing Grace says, I was blind, but now I see. People wonder all the time, why? I can't believe they could say it under a sermon like that and not get saved. I can tell you why. Before you were saved, you was dead in trespasses and in sins. What do dead men do? They just kind of lay there, don't they? God has to make a sinner alive. Do y'all agree with me with that? God has to make a sinner alive. God has to open those old blinded eyes up.
Amen.
I see people say, Pastor, I can't see it. I can't see it. And I witness and witness and witness, giving the message, pray. But you know who makes you able to see? Does anybody in the house know? Who makes you able to see? What if the Lord don't make you able to see? You'll stay right there where you're at willingly. You'll stay right there where you're at willingly. Why am I saved? Because I'm smarter than everybody else. No. I'm saved because God opened my blinded eyes. How many of you have heard of Lydia, the seller of purple? Raise your right hand. I want to see how many knows of Lydia, seller of purple, Acts chapter 16. You know what it says about her? Y'all remember? Y'all know where I'm going? Acts chapter 16. It says, Lydia was a seller of purple whose heart the Lord opened. Who opened her heart? Why is she saved? Somebody, why was she saved then?
The Lord
opened her heart. Now, with what I just said, who got the glory for the salvation?
The Lord
does. That's who deserves the glory. That's why I preach it. He does more than just make it possible. If he just made it possible, a blind man wouldn't be able to get in it. He did more than make it possible. He seeks and saves that which is lost. He opens the heart. He opens the eyes. And he draws you right to himself. Who gets the glory for all of that? The Lord did. People sometimes, and they'll learn more, they learn better, but sometimes, Jeff saved me last week. No, Jeff, I can't save you. I can tell you how to be saved. But I want to tell you, Jesus is more than a healing pool. He saves you if you can get in. Problem is you can't get in. You're just like this impotent man right here. You don't have the ability to get in. And I'm telling you, Jesus puts you in. All God's people say it. That's where you get it. All right, I'm not nowhere near going. Let's go to John 6. John 6. Everybody see where I'm coming from? Is Jesus the pool of Bethesda? No, no. Jesus can actually save. That was a hopeless pool for that man. Why was it a hopeless pool? Because he couldn't get in it. He didn't have the ability to get in it. Sinner man, that's what I'm telling you. You don't have the ability to get in it on your own. God gives you the ability to get in. Jesus gives you the ability. Jesus indeed does save. John chapter 6. I want you to, if you get take notes, you mark these down, look at them at the house. Because I want you to get this. John chapter 6 is a great text. I'm going to show you several verses here. We're going to be right here together. All right, John chapter 6. Let's look at verse 44. All right, you ready? John 6, 44. Notice what it says. No man can come to me. Let's think about that just a moment. It said, no man can come to me. Now, that means on their own. I mean, that's apart from the unction of the Spirit of God. Man just won't come. There's some people I know I'd like to slap them saved, wouldn't you? But you can't do it. You just can't do it. You like to shake them saved. No, you just can't do it. It takes the Lord to open their hearts and open their mind and open their understanding. 1 John 5:20, don't turn there yet. I'm just quoting this. Will come to mind. 1 John 5:20 says, He hath given us an understanding. He hath given us an understanding to know him that is true. Understand who Jesus is. I know why he died. I know why he had to resurrect. You know why I know it? Because he gave me the understanding. I understand who he is. I understand the whole, I understand justification. I understand it. But it ain't because I'm smarter. He gives you your understanding. The day you was born again, Stewie, he gave you an understanding of him. That's why you come jogging up that aisle to get saved. He understood it. I see it. Oh, I'd love to hear a sinner man say, I see it. I understand it. I want to get saved. The Lord's the one that does all of that. John 6, 44 says, No man can come to me. Everybody got it? No man can come to me except. In order for a person to come to him, something has to happen. See, he's just not a pool of Bethesda. Something has to happen in order for that lost person to come to him. Does everybody in the house agree? Something has to happen. Look back at John 6. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me do what? Who draws you? Father does. Man, I don't drag people down in front of the church. Have you ever seen that happen? That causes false conversions is what that does. You pull around on somebody, you're going to cause a false conversion there. The Lord's the one that does the drawing. You're getting over in the Lord's way when you start that kind of stuff. That's wrong. That's not biblical at all either. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me do what? Got to draw him. Got to draw him. Now those he draws, what's going to happen to him? What's it say there in verse 44? Those he draws up, if you want to call it that. Those that he draws, he's going to raise them up the last day. On the last day is the resurrection of the just. That means he's going to save them. Those he draws, those he calls, he saves, and they're going to be raised up. All God's people say it. Boy, I like that. Jesus is just not on the sideline on this thing going, oh, I hope they come to me. Jesus can save. He's not impotent with regard to salvation. He's not like a pool of Bethesda that'll heal you if you can get in. I'm telling you, he seeks and saves you. And I'm also telling you, he draws you to himself. He ain't in the sidelines on salvation. That irritates me to death. Man, the master can save. I pray for him to save folk. No use to pray for him to save folk if he can't save. He can save and he does save. And if you're here today and saved, he saved you. He get the glory for it. You might have heard a preacher that told you about it, but he ain't the one that brought you. It was the Lord the one that brought you. He deserves the glory for it. Still in John 6, let's look back up to 37. Almost done, maybe. Always throw a maybe in there. John 6, 37 says, all that the Father does what? What's it say, beloved? I want you to help me. I want you to help me preach today. John 6, 37 says what? All that the Father does what? Now, I ain't going to deal with that this morning. I've dealt with that enough. But all that the Father giveth me, what are they going to do now? They're going to come. And him that comes, what's he say? He won't cast you out the day you come. He won't cast you out any time after that either. All God's people say it. Won't cast you out. Won't cast you out. There's times you probably deserve to be cast out, but he don't. Now, if you don't mind, he'll whip your tail if you're born again. You get out here and things you don't belong. Father will whip you. Beloved, he just don't let you go. He just don't let you go. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that comes to me, I'll no wise cast him out. John chapter 6, verse 65. Look at verse 65 now. I want you to look at this when you go home too and think about it. Therefore said I unto you, John 6, 65, no man can come to me except it were given to him of the Father. No man can come to me except, why does it say no man can come except it is given to him of the Father? Because it takes the Father to draw people and bring people and save people. He gets the glory for it. Man, look at all those no man cans there. No man can come to me, verse 44. No man can come to me, verse 65. So Jesus has to work. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus has to work. He works on the man. He works on the sinner. Here's what the Lord done for me. He opened my eyes. He opened my heart. He quickened me. Ephesians chapter 2 says he quickens his people. You know what quicken means? Does anybody know? Made alive. Makes you alive. Made alive. Man, I can remember not caring. Still, you remember? I can remember not caring about religious things. You can probably remember mocking Christians. You did that all your days and would have continued to have been that way. But I want you to know something. The Spirit of God quickened my heart. It's quickening. And the word quickening means to be made alive, and the Holy Spirit quickens. He makes you alive, and you see it. And you trust Jesus. Jesus is the one that does all that. Y'all remember old Lazarus was in that tomb. Remember right, 4 days, wasn't it? Old Lazarus in that tomb for 4 days. He was a physical dead man. And before you were saved, you was a spiritual dead man. The Bible says we was dead in trespasses and sin. It doesn't say you was a little bit sick. It says you was what? It says you was dead, deader than a doornail. What's dead men do? Nothing. It's kind of lay there. They don't move, do they? If they're moving, they ain't dead. Lazarus was dead. He'd been in that tomb 4 days. Jesus shows up on the scene. And Jesus said, you roll away the stone. I think he rolled that. He didn't have to roll away. He could have rolled it away himself. He said, you roll that thing back. Something big about to happen when the Lord says to roll that thing back out of the way, don't you think?
Yep.
Could Lazarus come out of that tomb on his own? No. I'm just asking. Could he? Somebody tell me why he couldn't come out.
He was dead. Dead
men don't move. If they moving, if I'm moving and they tell you I'm dead, you tell them I'm still living. Not to put me in a hole somewhere. And Jesus went to the end of that. Jesus, I'd love to see that replayed, wouldn't you? And Jesus said, Lazarus, you come forth. Out of there he come. Does anybody know why he come out? Who give him life? Who give him life? Jesus gave him life. Who called him? Could you imagine Lazarus coming up? Boy, I made myself alive. He couldn't take no credit for being made alive. The only reason he walked out of that tomb is because Jesus called him out of that tomb. And when he called him, Mike, he gave him the ability to come out, and his life was brought back to him. That's what Jesus does in salvation.
Amen.
That's exactly what he does.
Amen.
We were dead. And as the day we heard the gospel, the Holy Spirit quickened your spirit, quickened, made you alive. He opened your eyes. He made you alive. And he drawed you right to himself. All God's people said, that's what the Lord does. That's what the Lord does. So he just didn't make it possible. What I'm telling you today, Jesus saves. He deserves the glory for every bit of the salvation. If you're here today and born again and trusted Jesus, you did that because of Jesus. You did that because he made you alive and saved your soul. He gets the glory for all of it. Do y'all agree with me? Because dead men don't come out of tombs on their own. Impotent men can't get into the pool. Jesus actually can save. All God's people said. All right. I think I made my point today. I hope if you're here, yeah, I'm going to stop with it. I'm going to hang my hat on. I had a whole another half a note, page of notes. I don't think I need to use it now. I really don't. If you're here today and maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart, maybe you're here today and lost and you've never trusted Jesus, and the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart and you see the need of it. The Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe it? Now, do you want an illustration of it? It's the thief on the cross. He was deader than a doornail. He's in sin. He was mocking just like everybody else. And the Lord said, and eventually a great change happened in him. He said, Lord, I want you to remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, what? How do you know he's going to be saved? Because Jesus said so. It's all you need. If Jesus said so, that's all you need. He'll tell you he'll save those that, call upon his name and ask the Lord to save them, he'll save them. You can use all the excuses in the world you want, but it's just an excuse. You call, he'll save you. Why don't you do that thing today? Why don't you do it today? We're going to close with a word of prayer. I'm going to go to the back. If you'd like to talk.